Knowing where and how to give to God's kingdom can be a challenge for any one person, but all the more so if you're married. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a beautiful thing when couples agree on how to manage their money, how much to spend and save, but finding agreement on giving is just as important. Today, Bob Dahl shares what he and his wife Leslie have learned about it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Bob Dahl, is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob joins us weekly to talk about the economy and investing, but today he's going to talk about investing in God's kingdom. Bob, great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Bob, you and Leslie wrote an article for the Gospel Coalition titled How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. We'll, of course, put a link to it in today's show notes. I know the two of you have a lot of practical experience in making your giving decisions as a couple, of course, based on God's Word. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, we do. Thankfully, he's instructed us along the way, and we've learned by doing and making mistakes.
Yes. That's exactly right. Well, unpack this for us a bit in terms of some of the keys of what you all have learned.
So I think what we've learned that every Christian either learns or should learn is this is not our money.
Yeah,
it is God's money. He owns it all. And so after a while, we figure out, it's not how much we're going to give, it's how much we're going to keep, and the rest we're going to give away. We recognize that we're on this planet for, you know, kind of a nanosecond, and we're in eternity for eternity, and therefore focusing on the long term and God's plan becomes so much easier if we really understand that. I think we've also learned, Rob, the older we get, we can't take it with us.
Yeah, you know? That's right. That's exactly right.
John D. Rockefeller's accountant was famously asked, how much did John D. leave? And he famously answered, all of it.
That's right.
And that encourages us to give away as well. And I love all Randy Alcorn has wrote on this subject. One that sticks with me is, God prospers us not to raise our standard of living, but our standard of giving.
Yes.
And that speaks volume to us. So they're the general principles that we knew at an earlier age, but I think we really believe and are trying to practice as we get older.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We need to renew our minds. Those are truths that we can anchor our framework for giving on. But how does that foundation, Bob, then inform the actual giving decisions you make?
So it makes us more generous, not to wait, to get started, to be all-encompassing in how we do it. Look, the article is How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. It implies we've figured it out. This is an ongoing process, Rob.
Sure. I
think, you know, not so much now, although we still have them, but early on, this was a source of a lot of disagreement. How much? Which ones? I mean, Leslie's propensity is always to really focus on a few causes and organizations that we know intimately. And mine, I've never met a charity that I didn't think was good. So therein lies a lot of conflict. And so we've tried to find ways to compromise parameters that help us. For example, Leslie gives approximately 20% away of what we give. I give 20. Now we have veto power over certain amounts, and the other 60 we come to jointly. So we've just learned over time how to do that.
Yeah. We're going to get more deeply into your system, Bob, that you and Leslie have created. And I know you said it's a work in progress, but I want to come back to one piece that I know is important to you. And that is many folks will wait to do their giving at death in terms of their real meaningful giving. And you all really have prioritized trying to give as much away as possible while you're alive, correct?
Yeah, you know the saying, give it away while you know where it's going.
Yeah.
You know, I use the phrase, we'd like for our last check to bounce.
Yes.
The joy of giving is a whole lot more powerful if you do it while you're breathing than when you're 6 feet under, you know?
Yeah, so, that's exactly right.
And causes need the money now, Rob, not when we die.
Yeah, no question about it. So what does it look like to give as a married couple? How can we do that in a way that's productive and with unity, where we can get money connected into God's activity right now, as Bob said? Bob Dahl with us today, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Much more on giving as a couple just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Remember making a pinky promise or crossing your heart? When we were younger, these were the ways we could add a little more certainty to our word. We promised something, and this added action showed the other person that we were serious about it. We would follow through no matter what, but whether or not we actually fulfilled our promises, that's another story. But there's an oath better than a pinky promise or a heart crossing. As Paul says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ and no through Him. The Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. No doubts, no wondering if God will do what He says, only a yes and an Amen, because our Lord is faithful. Anchor Devotional can help encourage you in your daily walk with Him. Try it out at getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Crossmark Global Investments. We're talking about an article that he and his wife Leslie wrote recently. It was published on the Gospel Coalition's website entitled, How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. What does that look like? What is the process for giving? Obviously, you need to find something that works for you, but I know Bob and Leslie have worked through this and found something that works for them that I think will really be an encouragement to you today. Bob, before the break, you shared that it's something as simple as you directing 20 to the ministries you're passionate about, she directing 20% to hers, and then you do the bulk of it, 60% together. That's something that works for you because now you can each have your own ministries and really passions reflected in your giving strategy, right?
Absolutely. Early on, we tried to agree on everything, and it just took forever and created too much disagreement. And we creatively came up with this. And, you know, we're educating each other on the 20 we give individually, so we both understand it. But it's a lot more productive when it goes that way. Leslie knows some ministries intimately that I'll never know intimately, and vice versa. And so let's find ways to express that.
Yeah. Talk about your giving strategy with regard to the where, because I know you all have developed somewhat of a pyramid and some processes to think about where your giving ends up. Share that with us.
Sure. So we give to over 100 causes. Some of them are individual missionaries. Some are big institutions that we all know about. And we give about 90%, usually ends up being about 95%, to faith-based organizations. Okay. We try to seek balances between, for example, evangelism and discipleship, between feeding the poor in spirit and the poor physically.
Yes.
Geography. It's not all to the U.S., most of my giving, because this is where I spend most of my time, is in the U.S. Leslie does a lot of ministry work in the Middle East, so a lot of the money she designates go into the Middle East. And yes, you mentioned the word pyramid. The ones we know best, the ones we're on the boards, we tend to give the most to.
Yeah.
The ones we know the least tend to be at the bottom of the pyramid, smaller amounts and far more of them, and then a couple of levels in between, Rob.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Bob, how does prayer fit into the process of you and Leslie determining your giving each year?
You know, very importantly, and again, we've learned this over time, it used to be, okay, December 31st is coming. If we're going to do what we're supposed to do from a tax standpoint, we better get the checkbook out. Yeah. And boy, it was a laborious process. As we start earlier, think about it, pray about it individually and together, that gives us a much easier process as we move forward, Rob.
Yeah.
We try to do a better job. I tell people all the time, God gave me two ears and one mouth. I should do a far more listening than speaking. And that applies to all kinds of subjects, including the giving process with spouse.
Yes.
So that's really important.
Yes.
We try to dig into the organizations, particularly the ones we give the most to, get an update. How's it going?
Yeah.
Take a look at their financials. Take a look at their website. Take a look at their 990s. Who's giving? How much are they giving? And that helps to inform, if we don't know them as well, what it is that God should motivate us to do.
Yeah, and that's a really key point. I mean, Bob, you spend most of your work life analyzing, researching companies. You're very strategic about the investments you're making there as a portfolio manager and CIO at Crossmark Global. You try to be kingdom strategic with your giving, don't you?
Hear, hear. Absolutely. I mean, I just remember, God gave us a brain.
Yep.
And he gave us responsibility. And I like to say, if this were really my money, who cares where I give it? But it's God's money. So we have to be very strategic about how we do it, not just emotional.
Yes.
I mean, we all fall in love with stories.
Yes.
And that can be a good starting point. But it's like when I analyze companies, if I love the product, doesn't make it a good stock.
Mm.
And so you've got to work through. You've got to dig in. You've got to think about it. You've got to pray about it consider what is it that God's calling us to in the giving process.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Some may be asking, where is Leslie today? She was going to join us, but she's off with one of the ministries that she's connected to, which brings us to the point about getting engaged in some of the ministries you're giving to. How is that really important?
So important. If Leslie were here, she would really emphasize that. I remember a bunch of years ago, she said, you know, I feel like a checkbook.
Yeah.
I just write checks. And that started the process to say, we've got to be involved in ministries. Now, there's different stages in life. If somebody's, you know, 32 and they got three kids under the age of four, it's kind of tough to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as life progresses and you find more time getting involved in ministries. Leslie is involved in a ministry in the Middle East. She's there right now working in Syria to help with the earthquake relief. So that's a perfect example of getting involved, particularly those that are kind of to the top of your giving pyramid. It's not just your check that God wants. He wants our involvement. He wants our lives. And that's another extension of it.
Yeah. Bob, I know you've served on and continue to serve on a number of boards of directors. Is that something you consider with regard to your giving, trying to get involved at that level?
Absolutely. You know, there are so many wonderful causes and so many wonderful boards to serve on. Yeah. And when you're on a board, you see the thick and the thin. Yeah. You see the good and the not so good in every organization. And that's informative. And you'll hopefully help it along, not just by writing a check, but by your presence and your ideas along the way. So that's one way to get involved in a ministries is to participate on the board. But there are lots of others as well. Volunteer. If this is an organization you love, go volunteer. Help them do whatever it is that they do. You'll get to know it better, and it'll raise your confidence level.
I love that idea. Bob, what about those that are listening today that are saying, well, I'm delighted to hear that you and Leslie are on the same page, but my spouse and I aren't. I have the giving gift that God has given me. My spouse doesn't really see that as a priority. How do we reconcile that as a married couple?
Yeah, you know, I come back to any reconciliation in a marriage, any subject that creates difficulty, sit down, talk about it, pray about it. When you pray, you generally come together. You know the old triangle, the closer we are to one another in prayer, the closer we become to God, and some of those things will break through. I know that sounds an idealistic answer, but it does work.
Yeah. Bob, just about 45 seconds left. The need is now. There's urgency with regard to the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Would you finish by just challenging our audience today about their opportunity to be connected into God's activity through their giving?
Sure. I come back to remember it's not your money, it's God's money. And you already said it. The time is short. The need is great. And in many cases, the cost is high. So getting started for a lot of people is the hardest part. They might get a little here, give a little there, but get on with it. Decide how much you're going to give away and let it grow over time. Experiment with increasing it, particularly if you've got a lot of savings, which a lot of people do. You don't want to die with $1 million that the hearse has to carry. It's not going to carry it. And if it does, you can't take it with you in the coffin. So start giving it away.
Well said. Let's leave it there. Bob, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
My privilege.
That's Bob Dahl. Again, we'll put the link to the article, How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple, in today's show notes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do the number of fires at food processing plants and significant train derailments such as the one in East Palestine, Ohio, raise at least some suspicions in your mind? They should. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and Kyle Scheidler, Director and Senior Analyst for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism at the Center for Security Policy, as we discuss lessons we must learn from train derailments and arson fires, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. A delight to have Bob Dahl with us as we think about giving as a married couple. You know, if giving should be a primary expression of our worship in our use of God's resources, a way to calibrate our hearts to the Father, an overflow of our gratitude for God's provision in our life, our demonstration of our trust and our opportunity. Yes, our opportunity to participate in God's activity. Well, we need to be thinking about our giving in light of our marriage to become one. What does that look like as we think about moving forward as a married couple and really together setting goals for the future, including our giving goals? Well, Bob Dahl and Leslie have worked that out and come to a plan that works for them. What does that look like for you? Perhaps you'd like to share some of those stories today on how you approach your generosity as a couple. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Maybe you have a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life as you apply biblical principles to your particular situation. We'd love to hear that. And maybe you have a question that you've been pondering lately, financially speaking. Well, we'll take that as well. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Texas. Carlos, thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Rowe. How you doing?
God bless. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
My question is this. I just moved from New York, and I have I used to work for the school district over there, and I have a pension from there, and I moved to Texas, which I is still doing the same type of work for the school. Yep. But here is a TRS, they call.
Yes.
And they told me that I cannot collect Social Security and TRS at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, that's typically true with the teacher's retirement system, and it gets terribly complicated, unfortunately. And so you need to talk to the Social Security Administration so they can look at your particular record and see, given that you've got two different states that you've taught in, it will come down to how many years you paid into the Social Security system. Oftentimes, depending upon the state, you will not pay into Social Security because they'll have an independent pension. And so, you know, if you did, you have to get to those 30 years that are really critical of having, paid into Social Security. There's a couple of provisions that come into place. There's one that's called the windfall elimination provision. And this, you know, allows your benefits to be reduced if you've worked, you know, less than 30 years, you will have a reduction in your Social Security benefits. And then there's what's called the government pension offset. And that is if you're entitled to Social Security benefits based on as a survivor or a spouse and have a TRS pension where you did not pay into Social Security, it will reduce that survivor's benefit. But, the key is whether or not you paid into Social Security. And if you did not, then, you know, you would only qualify for the TRS, the teacher's retirement system, and not get any Social Security benefit. So you need to do a little bit of digging and due diligence just to figure out
how many years are on your Social Security record currently, and you know, what could you do to get to a place where you have Social Security benefits that you're entitled to? What you may find is that really the teacher's retirement system is the only thing you'll be eligible, depending upon how Social Security has been handled to this point in terms of your working life. So unfortunately, it's very complicated, and you're going to have to get specific information, especially given your situation where you had two different states' retirement systems going on. But the Social Security Administration can help you navigate all of that. Have you reached out to them by chance to schedule a meeting or have a phone call?
Not yet, because I doesn't have the age yet to retire. Right. And I was thinking, because I put 25 years in New York, and this is my first year in Texas.
Yeah.
And I just also I was thinking to get the pension early over there, because I'm going to be turning 55. I know they're going to give me a penalty, and they're going to give me only the 75. So I was thinking to take advantage of the pension that I have there.
Yes.
To take advantage. I don't know if I should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this gets fairly complicated. It's going to come down to, Carlos, what options you have and what you plan to do from here in terms of any additional work. Are you planning to fully retire, or are you just planning to retire from teaching and go get another job elsewhere?
I'm planning to fully retire, but And the estimate that I have from the job that I have in New York, the pension, is like $3,000. Whatever I build in here, that's a different story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to recommend, because unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to give you direction on where to go from here, just given all of the moving parts that you have. I would schedule a meeting with the Social Security Administration, either over the phone or in person, just to get them to pull up your current work record and explain to you what options you have based on your work record to this point. Because what you may find is, if you can continue to work and pay into Social Security in the future, you may be able to get to the point where you can at least get a reduced benefit, especially given that the majority of your working life was in another state. Beyond that, I'd probably connect with an advisor. You could find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. And what they can do is look at the various options you have with regard to collecting your teacher's retirement early, compare that to your monthly budget needs, your plans for the future, and help you determine the right timing on that so that you have enough to cover your expenses, but you know, you're not doing it too early and limiting your future, you know, earning potential with regard to these retirement options that you have. So I think you need to do a little bit of due diligence first with SSA.gov and then next with a certified Kingdom advisor. Again, our website is faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. Carlos, thanks for your call, sir. All the best to you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wits' end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We started today by talking about generosity, the opportunity to give, which sends a powerful message when we give that we believe in God's goodness, we trust God's ownership, and we are about God's agenda. You know, giving changes our perspective, and it reorients our thinking and ultimately our hearts toward God's ownership, control, and purposes, and it allows us to be a part of His grand agenda, His grand story that we can participate in with our giving. You know, when we give, it really allows us to have a grander vision that we were created to live for something bigger than ourselves. Well, what does your giving look like in marriage? How do you wrestle through that and create a giving strategy together as a couple? If you have a story about that, we'd love to hear from you today, or a testimony of God's faithfulness in your financial life, or perhaps a question you'd like to get in on the conversation. 800-525-7000. You can call anonymously, and we'll get you on the air right away. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, back to the phones to Wisconsin. Hi, Margaret. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have been trying to reach Christian credit counselors, which I believe you talk about on your program.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very low income, and I'm very deep in debt. I can't reach them. I don't know how to. I've tried to find them online. That has not worked. Do you have a phone number?
I do. Yes, ma'am. So just revisiting the online for a second, and then I'll give you the phone number. If you did want to find them online, or for anybody else listening, this is my preferred way to pay off credit card debt if you have more than $4,000 in debt. That's the number that I kind of find. That less than that, you can snowball it yourself. More than that, using a debt management program where the interest rates are reduced, one level payment in your budget, which snowballs it as the balance comes down, is the way to pay that debt off 80% faster. And these are wonderful, godly people that will help you get out of credit card debt once and for all. On the web, it's Christian Credit Counselors, that's plural, .org. Now, to the phone number, Margaret, it is this. If you've got a pen handy, 800-557-1985. So that's 800-557-1985. 1985, and they'll be ready to work with you on your budget, evaluate all of the creditors you have, tell you what the interest rates will be reduced to, and if it makes sense, get you enrolled in the program. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you, Margaret. Thank you for calling today to Pennsylvania. Hi, Kay. You're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I was wondering, we are looking to purchase real estate, either for a rental or an Airbnb to use to offset our tax burden for our income, because even with our itemized deductions at like up to towards 26,000 with our tithe and everything, we still are ending up paying more than $4,000 to $7,000 a year in taxes. We've also contacted our employers and they withhold as much as they can, but we just feel like that's just kind of shoveling money forward and it's not really, really doing any sort of investment. It's just decreasing our spring tax burden. So we currently have $60,000 cash available in addition to our $7,000 to $15,000 that we have monthly for our in and out expenses.
Okay.
And so we're just wondering what the wisdom would be to purchase a rental or an Airbnb or something so that we could take that as a loss.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure why you'd want to take it as a loss. I mean, you know, the good news is taxes are symptomatic of provision of income. So if you don't have any income, you don't pay any taxes. Now, obviously, we don't want to pay a dime more than you're obligated to, even though Jesus was very clear we should be willing to submit to the governing authorities and we need to pay our taxes. But he didn't say pay any extra. So I like the idea and affirm the idea that we need to be trying to reduce our tax burden as much as possible. And, you know, upwards of 90% of taxpayers now don't itemize because the standard deduction, at least right now, until it expires, is so high that, you know, most folks just take the standard deduction. Obviously, there are other ways to reduce your tax liability. Charitable giving can be a way, bunching your giving, if you have the ability to do that, where maybe you'd put more than a year's worth of giving into a donor advised fund to get you up above the standard deduction, and then maybe you'd give it out over time out of your donor advised fund. That would be one strategy a lot of folks will use. You could look at your specific situation and talk to a CPA about potential deductions and credits you might be, you know, have available to you, especially if you're you have a small business or you know are sole proprietorship. With regard to a rental property, I wouldn't be going into it looking for a loss just to save on taxes. I'd go into it, try to make a profit, and then take full advantage of all of the tax deductions available for someone who has a rental property, which includes mortgage interest. You can deduct property taxes, insurance premiums, depreciation, maintenance and repairs, utilities, professional and legal fees, office space. If you're conducting business, in a commercial office space or a spare bedroom, things like that. So, again, I think the key for you is to say, how do we make as much as we can so that we can be generous and pursue what, you know, God has for us, but not pay any more taxes than are absolutely necessary. And that's where I think a really capable CPA to help you with that could make some sense. And I'm a big fan of real estate, as long as you're ready for it, meaning you can go into it with enough of a down payment, preferably up to 50%, so that, you know, with the debt service and your surplus and your cash flow every month, you're able to put aside the proper reserves, you're able to cover a period of time where you're without a renter, and you can obviously cover the maintenance, property taxes, insurance, that kind of thing. But if it were me, I wouldn't go into it hoping for a loss just to save on taxes. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. We're not hoping for a loss. We're assuming a loss, at least for the first 3 years, till you would get, especially with this Airbnb, we would probably be assuming a loss if it would be just something we would purchase for use for our family and stuff, but we would also rent it out. The income from that would be lower than the expenses.
I see.
It's not that we were hoping for a loss. It was just we were trying to think of ways to build our portfolio.
Sure.
I mean, our mortgage is paid off. That was the second part of my question, was if we would use a home equity loan versus, does that make us unable to say that there is a loss if it's a home equity loan? Because would the government see that as actually like a mortgage then?
Yeah, not necessarily. And in fact, you can deduct mortgage expense from or mortgage interest for a rental property. So that would reduce the amount of taxable income you have on the income you have coming from your renter. But I would be hesitant to use a HELOC for this property.
Yes.
Num- Number one, it's a variable interest rate. Number two, I'd rather you get a mortgage on the property itself, because if something happened unforeseen that was catastrophic financially, I want you to treat this as a business. And if you lost that property, that would be, we don't certainly don't want that, but it would still, you know, not impact your primary residence. I'd rather you kind of treat this with separate books and a, you know, as a true business, keep the mortgage on the property itself where it's collateralized by only the rental property, and not tie this up with your personal finances, including your private home, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
Good. Well, I think a good CPA could be key here, just to make sure you take full advantage of it. I like the idea that you're continuing to build out your portfolio. You guys are debt-free. That's amazing. And building a real estate portfolio makes a lot of sense for all the reasons you said. So I think you're on the right track, Kay. Hey, thanks for calling today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Sovereignty of God exalts the importance of one person because God uses everybody in his plan. He has no throwaways. Nobody is meaningless in the providence of God, and so you are important.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Esther, for Such a Time as This, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith Fi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
You know, money management is often complex and confusing. Mixed messages from the world and seemingly endless choices lead to indecision and frustration. But here's the reality, folks. There's only five things we can do with money. We can live on it. We can give it away. We can owe it for debt and taxes and grow it for the future. And the good news is that timeless wisdom from God's word offers principles and practical help so we can make financial decisions with confidence and peace of mind and ultimately pursue God's heart as we seek first the kingdom of God so that we love God and not money. We don't allow money to compete with God for his rightful place in first position in our lives. We want to help you do that on this program every day, and we're so thankful you joined us. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones to Michigan. Hi, Tommy. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm invested in my 401k,
yeah.
And as I talked to the people in 401k, they told me that right now where I got it, they not manage it. So I'm trying to find out which way should I go. Should I let them manage? Because I have the slightest idea. But I'm kind of new at this, so I'm trying to find out best way to go.
Yeah, very good. It's a great question, Tommy. How much do you have in there currently in that 401k?
About 30 something right now.
About 30,000. All right.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to manage it, and an advisor is probably not going to want to take that on just because, you know, typically they're going to require you have at least $75,000, maybe even over $100,000 or more before they'd want to manage it. Inside the 401k, there's what's called a limited investment universe, which just simply means if you were to open a brokerage account and put $30,000 in it at Fidelity or Schwab or one of the others, you could invest basically in any stock, bond, mutual fund, exchange-traded fund, you name it, you could invest in it. Inside, though, a 401k, you've got a menu of choices that's much smaller, and that's good in some ways because it makes it a little more simple in terms of actually picking those investment options. So I would do a couple of things. Number one is you could reach out to the plan administrator and ask for someone from the plan administrator to help you understand the investment options that are there and help you select. They're going to make you do it, but help you select the right investments for you based on your age, your time horizon between now and retirement, your what they call risk tolerance, how much risk you're willing to take to achieve a desired return on the investments. They can help talk you through that. There is kind of, one more option that's a more, kind of do it yourself, set it and forget it option. And it's called either a life cycle fund or a target date fund, and pretty much every 401k will have it. And basically what it is, and you can call and ask them about this, is you give them your expected retirement date. Let's say that's 2030, okay? We're in 2023, that's 7 years down the road. That may or may not be yours, but I'm just using this as an example. And you would pick the 2030 target date fund. And what that does is it automatically builds the portfolio based on a 7-year time horizon. And every year that goes by, as you get closer and closer to retirement, it's going to get more conservative, meaning it's going to use more bonds and fixed income type investments and less stocks. Until you actually get to retirement, you won't be completely out of stocks because even once you reach retirement, you still need this money to last decades if the Lord tarries and you're in good health. But at least you're going to know that you're not taking an unnecessary, ineffective amount of risk based on your age and goals. And so that would be a way to kind of put it in there, and then you wouldn't even really have to think about it from that point forward. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes. Yeah, they did talk to me about that.
Okay.
So, okay.
That's probably the easiest way to go for you, given the amount of money you have in there and what you're looking to do. I think, just using that target date fund is probably the right move for you. You could obviously connect with an advisor and pay them a fee just to look over the investments and help you construct something a little more tailored to what you're looking for. But the target date fund is certainly a much simpler option. So hopefully that gives you some ideas as you think about where you go from here. We appreciate you checking with us, sir. God bless you. To Tennessee. Hi, Vicki. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I'll try to give you the scenario quickly so you can give me some direction. I have a house that I sold. I lived in it for 10 years. I moved out of it in 2020. Didn't rent it. My son lived in it for that period of time. But I sold it for walked away with $302,000. I have did my tithe of $30,000, and then I had $50,000 mortgage, paid that off, and the rest of the $100,000 I used to do some additions to my house. I have $200,000. $100,000 I've got 60 in stocks with my broker. 20 in a CD and 10 in an I bond, and then the other $100,000 is laying in my savings account. I have two questions. What would you suggest to do with this $100,000? And second, what is the exclusion? Is it $250,000 you could sell a house for and not pay capital gains?
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you for that question, Vicki, and that great summary of your situation. Let's start with the capital gains question. You will not have any capital gains. Are you single or married?
Single at 79.
Okay, great. So if your gain was less than $250,000, not your selling price, but your gain, so the selling price minus the original purchase price minus any improvements to the property, if the gain was more than $250,000, you'd have capital gains. But if it was less than $250,000, you would not. Did you have more than $250,000 in profit?
Well, I picked it up at $52,000 as a repo. I have receipts of $160,000, maybe thousand, and I know about additions, but I don't have the receipts for another $60,000-$70,000. But with receipts for the renovation, I have $130,000 or $140,000-$150,000. I can't tell you. I'm the car.
Sure. And how much did you sell it for?
It sold for $390,000, but I walked away with $302,000 after the commission and everything.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, you would be able to subtract the commissions and expenses. You'd be able to subtract the improvements that improve the value of the property, not maintenance and, you know, things that didn't add value to the property, but things that you can document that added value to the property. You can take that off of the selling price and the original purchase price. So it sounds like when you do that, and you could talk to a CPA about the, you know, all of this just to have a definitive answer, but it sounds like once you subtract all those things, you're going to be under $250,000 in profit. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So that means you're not going to have any capital gains tax on this. So 100% of the proceeds are available for you to use. Now, to your question about how to handle the $100,000, do you have an emergency fund of liquid funds, you know, currently separate from this $100,000?
No, I don't, but I don't owe anything. The house I'm living in is paid off. My car's paid off. So, but no, I do not have any.
Okay. And what do you think your expenses are per month, roughly?
I got $10,000 set aside.
Okay. And what are your expenses over a month's time, roughly?
Well, I have no mortgages. I'd say expenses, maybe $600 a month, maybe. I don't know. Food and everything.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it's double that, $1,200. I mean, if you had somewhere between $6,000 and $12,000 in liquid savings, that would give you upwards of a year's worth of expenses available. So that means everything beyond that is available to be put to work. Do you have this $100,000, or let's say we were to take $10,000 out of it for emergency savings, do you have that earmarked for anything? Are you going to purchase another property? Do you need a new car? Anything that's specific that it's...
No, I just think eventually I have to put a new air conditioning unit in. But I have a separate $10,000, not this $100,000. That's a separate $10,000.
Okay, very good. So that $100,000 is all able to be put to work, it sounds like. What are your income sources currently? Just Social Security?
I get $2,600 a month in Social Security. That's
it. All right. But that's obviously far more than you need based on your limited expenses, right? Is that right? All right, I think we lost you. So I think what I would do from here, Vicki, given that you've got your emergency fund shored up, given that you're debt-free, your expenses are modest, you've got plenty of income coming in with Social Security, and it sounds like you got quite a bit of surplus, I'd connect with an advisor to build a portfolio, very conservative. You don't have to take any more risk than is necessary, but I'd connect with an advisor to be able to talk about how to manage this moving forward. And you can find a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA. I'd interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. Quickly to Texas, Lisette, I've got just about 30 seconds. I understand you have a testimony. Give us that really quickly.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. West. I wanted to tell you that since I've been tithing, I've been faithful, and I have a lot of trouble with my husband, of course, and it took. Since I explained and told him what the blessings that I'm receiving, he's been faithful for a few years, and he has received as much from that as he can. Happy
That's incredible. Well, hey, you stay on the line. I want to talk a little bit more about this, but thank you for finishing this program for us on a really positive note. God is faithful, and we should give generously, and there's incredible joy and satisfaction and peace of mind that comes with that. Hey, thanks to my team today, and thank you for being here as well for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. May God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.